This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Adam Ragusea, in for Meghna Chakrabarty.
So why would anyone miss war? It's a provocative question posed by journalist Sebastian Younger in a recent column in the New York Times. In that column, Younger made a case for building a national memorial to honor civilians killed in war and to help American veterans. Younger grew up in the Boston area. He's best known for his book, The Perfect Storm, and he's made a career of writing about people doing dangerous work. A few years ago, that meant spending a year with a U.S. Army platoon in Afghanistan.
It was a very rough deployment. A lot of guys got killed. They spent a year at a remote outpost, 15-man position, that had no internet, no running water, no cooked food, constant patrols and constant combat. And you would think, wow, that's hell on earth. But in fact, to my surprise and to their surprise, when they got back to Vicenza, Italy, where they're based, a lot of them really missed it.
Sebastian Younger's documentary Restrepo tells the story of that deployment. Named for a young medic killed in combat, it came out last year and will be shown tonight at the Woods Hole Film Festival on Cape Cod. Early in the film, we hear from a young soldier named Misha Pemble Belkin.
I'd rather be there than here. I'd rather be deployed right now just because the war's still going on over there. So that's the part that I miss is, like, I don't really miss it. I just wish I was doing something instead of just sitting around still.
So why would anyone miss war? Younger told us it's a question many veterans struggle with.
It's not that they miss killing. It's they miss being needed. They miss being significant in a small group of people who they love, which is essentially what a platoon is. That's what they miss, and they come back to society. As a young man, they're at the bottom of the social food chain. They're just sort of lost, and they miss the intimacy of the outpost of the platoon. They miss it tremendously.
Hmm. And you found out of that group of men that you were embedded with, they all re-upped. They all had an opportunity to get out of what looked like hell to anybody looking at it, but they all re-upped, except one.
One guy had the chance to get out, and he got out, Brendan O'Byrne. Misha Pemble Belkin, the guy we heard from a few moments ago, right now, he's in Kunar province with the 25th Infantry and, you know, having a very rough time, but he's where he wants to be.
Mm. You write that soldiers have the ability to compartmentalize the experience of war and that society does the same thing. Can you explain that?
Well, I was asked at a talk that I gave, a woman asked me, why do soldiers compartmentalize war? Because society does.
Mm-hmm.
As a soldier, you come back from war knowing that you might have killed civilians, knowing that your brothers got killed, knowing that you were scared, knowing that, you know, you weren't out there for any kind of patriotic reasons. You were out there fighting for the man to the left and right of you. And you come back to this country and no one on the street, none of your friends or family really is willing to engage with those truths. We don't want to know we killed civilians.
Mm.
And listen, there are wars that I think need to be fought. I'm not an absolute, you know, pacifist by any means. I think there are wars that sometimes need to be fought. But even so, civilians get killed and we at home do not want to acknowledge it. The soldiers compartmentalize that because when they come back, they realize no one else is willing to engage in that conversation. So they just shut down.
So how would it be helpful to these returning soldiers and to society in general, I guess, to erect a memorial to civilians who are killed in wars?
The civilians that get killed, overwhelmingly, they're tragic accidents that really trouble the soldiers.
Yeah.
And here's a place to go to, much like the Vietnam Memorial, where you can grieve that fact. You're not doing that in your bedroom by yourself. You're doing it in a place that the whole nation has sanctioned. Basically, by building a memorial, you're saying, your feelings are okay. We welcome your feelings. Here's a place to come to express them. What it also does, it sends a message to the rest of the world. We as a nation understand how serious this war business is. We understand that despite all of our best efforts, civilians do get killed. The vast majority get killed by insurgents. But nevertheless, we're part of the dynamic that created that situation. And we want to acknowledge it and grieve it publicly so that we understand and you, the world, understand that this is very serious business and we would never undertake this lightly.
Hmm. I want to play one more clip from Restrepo. This goes to the point of the extraordinarily difficult situations that soldiers face over there. This is Captain Dan Kearney addressing his troops after another unit called Chosen Company took heavy, heavy casualties in which several soldiers were killed. Let's listen just for a second.
Listen up. I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about some of what happened up with Chosen Company. I want you guys to mourn, and then I want you guys to get over it and do your jobs. Okay?
So he's telling them, mourn, get over it, and do your jobs. What was your response to that when you heard him say that? Is that possible?
That was actually Tim's trip. We alternated trips.
This is Tim Hetherington, your co-director on this project, right?
That's right. The Americans lost 9 soldiers. It was a devastating blow. That's what being a soldier is. If you allow yourself the full force of your emotional reactions, you'll get killed because you're not operational. And that is one of the very destructive aspects of being a soldier, and for that matter, being a cop, being a fireman, is you have to remain functional. And so you defer all of your emotional reactions until later, but it's like racking up a credit card bill. When you defer those reactions, you pay a much higher price later.
Mm. Restrepo was co-directed by your friend and photojournalist Tim Hetherington, who you just mentioned, and who was killed not long ago covering the war in Libya. You've long been attracted to stories that test men's courage, and you've seen your share of dangerous places. And I'm wondering if Tim's death or your long experience in Afghanistan have changed your own relationship to danger.
Certainly. I mean, as your life goes by, you become more and more acutely aware of what a thin thread we're all hanging from. You know, like when I first went to Bosnia in 1993, I was 30 years old, 31 years old. I didn't really believe I could get killed. I believed that only in the most abstract intellectual sense. Tim's death really brought it home. And I'm 49. I've been doing this for 20 years. And I have people who love me, who don't want to lose me. And having gone through the just incredible grief of losing Tim, it was really kind of shocking how painful it was. I just kind of had this revelation, like, I don't want to do that to anyone I care about. And so I decided to get out of the frontline reporting. I won't be getting shot at anymore.
What amazes me about what you just said is, as you said, you went to Bosnia when you were 30 years old. That has taken 20 years for you to have that revelation, even though you've been in so many of these dangerous situations.
Well, that's the power of compartmentalizing. That's why people do it.
Yeah.
And every dangerous profession does it. I think firemen do it. I think cops do it. I know soldiers do it, and journalists certainly do it. Interestingly enough, a near miss doesn't really drive the point home. In a weird way, it reinforces the idea that you can't get killed in an odd way.
That you're invulnerable, perhaps. Let me ask one more question, and this is a tough question, but when a colleague and friend like Tim Hetherington dies for a story, was his death worth it for the story?
I mean, no story is worth a journalist's life. No patrol is worth a soldier's life. If you could somehow know in advance that that's what the cost would be, you would never do the story. You'd never do the patrol. The question is, are all the stories combined worth the risk of being killed on any one story? For society as a whole, is it worth the cost of firemen who are killed on fires to have a fire department that keeps cities from burning down? Yes, tragically, it is. Likewise for the police. Likewise for journalists. I think I can't imagine a society, a world, where there is not a working press. It would allow for the worst kind of abuses of power. The price is that people like Tim get killed every year.
Well, Sebastian Younger, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us. We're very grateful.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Sebastian Younger is the author of War. His 2010 documentary Restrepo airs tonight at the Woods Hole Film Festival, and he'll be participating in a discussion there tomorrow about war reporting. You can post comments on what you heard and find more information, including a trailer for Restrepo, on our website, radioboston.org.